It's the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann.
It is the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann, and catching up with the leader of the official opposition, Democratic Alliance, John Stiernason, today, checking on his party's state of readiness ahead of the general elections on May 29. John, thank you so much for your time. I know these are busy days for you. General state of readiness from the DA's point of view heading into May 29, how would you describe it?
Yeah, well, great to be with you, and obviously great to be with the listeners and viewers. We're ready. We've been ready for a year and a half. I started campaigning during the course of last year. Our posters are up. I think we were the first party to get posters up. We've got new, fresh posters coming up in the next week here, all over the country. We are funded, and we've got activists that are fanning out every single day across the country, convincing people to vote for us. So we're looking very forward to the 29th of May, and we can't wait for the opportunities that it offers and brings to for real meaningful change for the first time in 30 years in our democracy.
Do you think these elections will result in meaningful change? Not same old, same old?
Absolutely. I think it's the first election in 30 years where the outcome is not a foregone conclusion. In every election before that, we've known that the ANC was going to win. It was just always a question of by how much. In this election, all bets are off. Anything can happen. The polls show that the ANC is likely to fall below 50%. But with a month to go, there's still much to play for. And so these are the things that are going to dominate the campaign trail over the coming weeks. But I do think that this is a crossroads election for South Africa. I think it is the first competitive election we've had in our democracy. And of course, that is a wonderful thing if you believe in democracy and the potential that democracy gives for real change. And I think if we can get a new government into place after the 29th of May, I think that we can start to move the country in the right direction. We can start to get some of the things moving again, get electricity back into our economy and into our homes and into our businesses. I think we can start to beat crime, and I think we can start to deliver jobs and lots of them with a government that is attuned to what's going to be required to get the economy moving again.
Lots and lots of new parties in this election. Looking through the list, there's almost 70 in total that you can vote for nationally. Is the Democratic Alliance, your share of the vote, at risk as a result of the proliferation of all these new parties, or don't you see it that way?
Well, of course, when you have an over-fragmentation of the vote, you end up precisely in a situation like we found ourselves in Nelson Mandela Bay, where you can't actually form a stable majority, and you can't actually get a working coalition going. And so I've been warning people, and you know, some people don't like it, but I'm a straight shooter, always have been, and you'll always get a straight answer from me, that if you do split the vote and over-fragment it, you're going to end up at a national level what you've got in Nelson Mandela Bay, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, and many other places with an impossible situation. And that's why I've been telling people to consolidate your vote behind a party that has a track record of getting things done. It doesn't just talk and promise, but can actually deliver what we say we're going to do. And I think that in this election, people are going to have to be very, very careful about how they vote and to not do a spread betting approach and make sure they consolidate the vote so that we can get working majorities and we can avoid the type of situation we've seen in Nelson Mandela Bay and other places.
Is the Democratic Alliance at risk in the Western Cape? You've had the Western Cape under DA leadership since, I think it was 2009, and parties such as the Patriotic Alliance and Rise Mzansi are making noises about unseating you there?
Well, I think that we will be able to retain our majority there, but nothing is a given, and that's why it's important that every Western Cape voter comes out to vote. Otherwise, they're going to wake up on the 30th in the same situation as the other eight provinces have been for the last 30 years, and I don't think anybody wants to find that. When you've had a government that's created 300,000 new jobs in the last year, that's arrested 27,000 criminals through the Law Enforcement Advancement Program, that's beating load shedding, that's growing an economy, that's providing world-class health care to every citizen who needs it. That is all at risk if you vote and split the vote, because then you allow the ANC and the EFF in through the back door. And that's precisely what's happened in places in the Western Cape, like Knysna, like Laingsburg, like Beaufort West, like many other places. And those places, particularly Knysna, are feeling the pain of that decision about splitting the vote, letting the ANC EFF in through the back door. And that's why there's now sewage flowing into the Knysna Lagoon. There's a mountain of rubbish outside the town. And the municipality itself is embroiled in massive corruption. You've got to avoid that. And people need to think carefully in this election and make sure that they don't inadvertently open the door for the unintended consequence of the Doomsday Coalition from coming in. And it's not scaremongering, it's not Khafar tactics, it's exactly what's happened in many, many places in the Western Cape. So people need to be mindful of that when they go into the ballot booth.
How do you respond to accusations that you're playing the Swart Khafar tactic when you talk about the Doomsday Coalition of EFF and ANC presumably teaming up?
Well, first of all, it's got nothing to do with race, and I've been very clear about that from the beginning. So how it is Swart Khafar is simply beyond me. But, you know, racial epithets and attacks are the last vestige of people who've run out of compelling arguments. So I'll take that where it comes from. And as for Khafar, a Khafar tactic is warning something about a hypothetical situation. This is happening. This Doomsday Coalition has happened already. It's happened in Nelson Mandela Bay. It's happened in Johannesburg. It's happened in many, many parts of South Africa. It's happening in municipalities all over Gauteng. And the consequences are there plainly for people to see. Joburg is in absolute chaos. Exploding roads without water. Nelson Mandela Bay is an excellent example. One city that was once on the up again when the DA coalition was here, bus rapid transport system, shot spotter, an economy that was starting to grow, all been reversed now because of the ANC, EFF, and these smaller parties ganging up to be able to share in the spoils and are serving the politicians and not the people. So this is not a Khafar tactic. It's pointing out to South African citizens that in this election, there's a binary. You can either have the multi-party charter or coalition government with a strong DA at the heart of it, with our experience, our policies, and our people, or you're going to have the Doomsday Coalition with the EFF and the ANC and potentially MK. And that's not a Khafar, it's a reality because it has already happened. And I think it'd be foolish for any party that was wanting to get people to vote for the multi-party charter to show people very clearly what the binary is here. If you don't get the one, you're going to get the other. And that is just the reality.
Talk to me a little more about the MPC, the multi-party charter. What has been agreed? What are the areas on which you all agree and which you have in common? And which are the areas where maybe it's every man for himself?
Well, we've been very clear from the beginning that you have to start with values and principles. And that's the foundation of the multi-party charter document. It's not a coalition. It's a pre-election pact. And that coalesces around values such as respect for the rule of law, and the Constitution, social market economy that treats business and the private sector as partners in the job creation agenda. It's around fighting crime. It's around building a capable state and focusing on job creation, growing the economy, and lifting people out of poverty. Now, the leaders have been meeting fortnightly since May last year and have been able to synthesize around 8 policies, which we've put now before the people of South Africa. It's not good enough just to say we want to break the ANC's majority. Mm. What we want to do is be able to make a compelling alternative offer to South Africans. So we've released joint policies over the last couple of months. Our latest one was last week in Benoni, where we launched our social development policy. But we've put on the table alternative policies on growing the economy, fighting crime, ending cater deployment, being able to build a solid social safety net, being able to ensure that our ports and harbors and infrastructure are working. So those things there's great agreements on. And these, I think, are the big questions for South Africa. Of course, with 11 different parties, you're going to have differences on the peripheries. We have a different view on immigration, for instance, to Action SA. We may have differences with some of the other parties on the peripheral issues. But frankly, those are irrelevant in the crisis that South Africa finds itself in, where we don't focus on getting those 7 to 8 things right, ending load shedding, fighting crime, being able to build a capable state, fixing the education system, building a public health care system that works, a social safety net for people to lift them out of poverty. These are the big issues that if you don't get right over the next 5 years, frankly, the rest of the stuff remains irrelevant because it's just simply unachievable. You can't grow an economy without electricity and water in it. You can't build a safe society without a proper policing structure. And you can't ever expect young people to find work in the modern world if they cannot read for meaning at the grade 4 level and leave school unable to read and write and do mathematics. There's just no hope of them finding a job in the modern world. So these are the big things that you've got to fix. And I think there's massive agreement there. And it's the first time in 30 years that the opposition is finally working together. And the multi-party charter still offers the very best hope of an alternative, because outside of the ANC, it is the largest voting bloc now in South Africa.
Outside of the MPC, we have parties like Rise Mzansi under Songezo Zibi. You've had a little spat publicly with him recently. What is their position? Why would they not join the MPC? And what's behind the little spat that you had with Songezo?
Well, that's a jolly good question. And that's a question I've been asking myself. And I think it's a question that voters should ask. Why would you not want to be part of the very best path to victory for the opposition? And why would you not want to be part of building an alternative government if there was not another purpose? And having looked at their utterances over the last few weeks, and bear in mind, this is a party that still remains in the margin of error in South Africa, but this is a party that supports BEE, that supports expropriation without compensation, that supports some of the terrible policies of the ANC. And I think voters need to know that, you know, these are the issues. And so when I pointed this out, it clearly touched Mr. Zibi and Raz on their studio, and they reacted in the way they did. Unfortunately, much like the ANC, their default was to race, which I think is unfortunate. But anyway, voters must decide whether they want an ANC-light party or whether they want an alternative. And I'm part of building up the alternative and working with like-minded opposition parties to build that opportunity to be able to bring an alternative at the election. You know, those parties want to support the ANC, but voters need to be aware that there are policy similarities. And at the last debate I did with Mr. Zibi, the ANC was effusively praising Rise Mzansi. Now, I've been in politics long enough to know that when your opponent is praising you, you're clearly doing something wrong.
Can we take a look at the Rescue SA initiative that you're involved in at the moment, John? You're busy crisscrossing South Africa, focusing on major election issues, crime, unemployment, the economy.
Yeah, correct. So I'm busy on the Rescue South Africa tour. We're visiting all of the major urban centres in South Africa. Last year, I spent a large part of the year on the road in rural South Africa, including here in the Eastern Cape, visiting small towns and looking at the impact of poor service delivery and setting the offer up. These are focusing on the big metro areas and putting the exciting new vision about how we can rescue the country, how we can create jobs, how we can fix our economy, how we can get hospitals that work for people, how we can have an education system that gives people a fighting chance of finding a job, how we can end corruption in the civil service. And it's been great to be able to share these positive ideas that we have around how we can fix the country, how we can rescue South Africa from the clutches of a failed state. And it's been amazing to see the turnout. And we've had thousands of people in town halls all over the country, Mangaung, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni. We're now in Good KZN on Saturday. We're here now in the Eastern Cape, and we'll be coming back down to East London in a week or two's time. And it's all very exciting because, you know, it gives you an opportunity to share the vision for change. And I've been absolutely blown away by the attendance of people at these meetings. And it's a clear sign that people are hungry for change. They want to see the country working and moving forward, and they want to be part of that mission. And that's been very exciting.
The Democratic Alliance, you got around 20% of the vote last time around. If you are to grow, where are the areas that your growth will come from? Who are you targeting?
Well, we're targeting all South African voters. I mean, there's no segmentation of voters for us. We're a broad party. We're the only other party other than the ANC that has a large national footprint. And so we're targeting all communities and all voter groups and all age groups and demographics and areas. And that's why you'll find our campaign posters up in rural areas as well as urban areas. But obviously we're wanting South Africans to join our banner. Any South African who believes that the country's on the wrong course and needs to course correct and wants to vote for a party that has a track record of doing that. I mean, we are unlike any of the other parties that can make long lists of promises but don't have a track record of delivery. Our success in the Western Cape, and the Western Cape is not perfect, but it's certainly a much better economy. It's a much better environment for voters who live under DA governments, whether it's in the Western Cape, Midvale Municipality, Ungeni, in KwaZulu-Natal, wherever the DA governs, life is better for South Africans. Not perfect, but a lot better than it is everywhere else. Obviously, we strive for perfection, but there's a lot of things to overcome in South Africa still. And so voters need to think very carefully about, well, you know, I like the solution, but does this party have the ability to deliver it? And I think if you look at all those big key issues, the DA has a track record about delivering there. And that's why our manifesto sets out seven key things that we think need to be fixed in the next 5 years. We put the solution on the table, but we then go further in our manifesto to show people how we're doing this, where we govern already, and how we want to now do that for the rest of South Africa.
Final question for you, John. What does your research show South Africa wakes up to on the morning of May 30 or May 31, once the votes are counted? What do you anticipate?
Well, I'm really hoping we're going to get the multi-party charter over the line. I think it's the best solution. It's a silver bullet to South Africa's problems, because if you don't change, you're sitting around the table. You're going to end up with the same bad people sitting around the same cabinet table, making the same bad decisions with the same bad outcome. And I'm really hoping the multi-party charter is going to go over the line. I think we're a little way off now still, but there's a month to go. And I think that, you know, the parties in the multi-party charter are crisscrossing the country now to make their pitch to people, saying, come on, South Africa, this is your real chance at change. It may not come around again. If the ANC get over the 50% mark, or they put together a doomsday coalition, by 2029, we're not sure what's going to be left. So let's use this opportunity in this election to bring the change. So I'm really hoping we're going to wake up to a wonderful result to the multi-party charter. The polling is not there yet, but as I say, we're a month away, and a lot can happen in a month. And certainly my focus is going to be on getting as many votes in the bag for the DA, so that we can be the strong, stable anchor tenant and bring our experience in government to bear in more provinces and at a national level.
Really, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being available to us today. Official leader of the Opposition Democratic Alliance. Have a good day, John.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
That was the Daily Dispatch, in discussion with Darren Mann.